psalm, Psalm 27. It is part two of last week's message. Last week's message and this morning is entitled, Getting Victory Over Stress. How can you get victory over stress? Because stress is just a part of life. But we don't have to allow ourselves to be controlled by stress. We don't have to allow the stress to control us, to harm our health, all right? There are ways that as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, we can get victory over stress that may be in our life right now. Stress that at some point will come because it is just part of life. But Jesus Christ did not design us to carry the load of stress, all right? He did not design us to carry a load of stress, but he did tell us in Scripture through Peter that we can cast all our care upon him, upon the Lord, because the Lord cares for us. And Jesus even talked about us taking his yoke upon us and learning of him so we can find rest unto our souls. So the Lord never wants us to be bogged down with stress. And like I said, sometimes there is good stress in life. All right, if you have ever had your faith stretched, you've ever had yourself, you know, be under the stress of your faith being stretched, that is the Lord wanting to build your faith, wanting to strengthen you and to help you to rely upon him. But there are stresses he does not want us to carry around. So in Psalm chapter 27, I'll read the entire 14 verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, we do thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy towards us. We do thank you, Father, that we have a rock higher than us. And Lord, we have a rock we can stand upon. The storms of life cannot move, and that is the rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much and that you want to carry our burdens. You don't want us to be burdened down with the stresses of life, but you do want us to learn through the different seasons of life, learn how to continue to trust you, to follow you, and to lean upon you, and to allow your word to be the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, would you help us not to give up, but to always humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand, knowing you'll lift us up in due time, knowing Christ will be our strength during the times of weakness. And we thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I had gone through, there's seven ways that you and I can get victory over stress in our life when it rears its ugly head, whether it's on a daily basis, whether it's Maybe this coming up week, maybe this past week, you've had some stress come into your life. And again, it's impossible for me to name all the different stresses that can enter into your life and my life. Sometimes they're spiritual stresses, sometimes they're emotional, sometimes they're physical. You're going through just a physical trial, some health issue that the Lord has allowed to come into your life, but yet the Lord is going to bring you through it. Whatever the stress may be in your life now or will be in your life, or maybe there's some stress in your past life that you haven't gotten over, God's brought you through it, but it still bears down on your life because it was hard, whether it was a person, again, whether it was a health issue. Again, if you ever go through a health issue like cancer and it goes into remission, it's always in the back of your mind, is it going to come back? And that can really cause stress in a person's life, that they're always looking back at something, wondering, is it going to catch back up with me? Is it going to take over my life again? And we lose sight of the future where God wants to lead us. And this morning, I want to remind us that we do have victory over the stresses of life because we walk with the one who has given us victory, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week we talked about, number one, having a joyful attitude is one of the greatest ways that we can defeat stress. Because when we're focused on stress, we don't joy in the Lord. We're worried about, we're consumed about the what ifs of whatever that stress is. And the Bible tells us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always, and again rejoice. Go, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is where we opened up last week, but I felt led to open up in Psalm 27 this morning. But very quickly, looking at Philippians chapter 4, and verse 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Stress is the reality of life. I'm not downplaying anything you may have, are facing, or will face, but the truth is we can rejoice in the Lord because, again, God has given us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can joy in our salvation because it is something that can never be taken away. It is something that can never be destroyed. It is something that never can be diminished in our life. Nothing can affect our salvation in the Lord because we are complete in Christ and He holds us in His hands. So having a joyful attitude in the times of a stressful moment will help us to get victory, will help us to get our focus back on the author and finisher of our faith. It will remind us that we do have victory in the Lord and that I can go boldly before the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need. The second thing we looked at last week, according to verse 5, is abiding. In verse 5, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. God's always at hand. He's always with you. Christ is abiding in you and you in Christ. So when those stressful moments come, the devil and your flesh is going to tempt you to turn your back on God. God is not the one that tempts us. God cannot be tempted with evil. The Bible says neither he tempts any man with evil. God will stretch our faith at different times. God will use hardships in our life to try to draw us closer to him, all right? But the devil also wants to use the same stresses, the same hardships that come into our life to draw us away from the Lord. You and I can never say, oh, the devil pushed me away from the Lord. Growing up, I don't know, sometimes kids do that. They'll push other kids to get them out of their way, or, you know, they'll try to push kids into doing things that the kid doesn't want to do, and they may push the kid, chicken, do it, you know, all this. The devil never makes anybody do what they don't want to do. He simply puts the lure out there. He simply entices the person. He simply helps to magnify the problem above God. Again, as you read your Bible, you see that, you see it happens often throughout scripture as you're reading, where in the minds of people, as they look through their physical eyes, they see a problem that seems bigger than God. And we see that first instance. And not maybe not the first instance, but the first one I think about is David, a shepherd boy. He's a young teenager. He's a shepherd boy. And he's the only one that has faith that God will give him victory over Goliath. And the Bible gives us the clear description of the Goliath, right? Over 9 feet tall, he's a massive man, he's a massive giant, and yet no grown man that was in the army, in Israel's army, wanted to face him. Not even the king, not King Saul. He didn't even want to go out there and face him. But when David shows up, David is a man after God's own heart. God has already proven himself in David's life, and David, he sees the giant, he hears the words the giant is saying, and he's like, you know, basically, what's going to happen to the man that goes out and fights this giant, right? But there's always someone that is always wants to belittle someone who wants to live for God. Don't let anyone cause you to diminish your faith in God just because they're not willing to live for God. Because when we read the account of David fighting Goliath, his older brother Eliab said, oh, I know the naughtiness of your heart. Your heart is so full of pride, you just wanted to come and see the battle. Who did you leave those few sheep with? Right? And David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? I mean, here's this Philistine. He is cursing our God. And David's like, I'll fight him. No man wanted to fight him. But you know the account. David did, and David goes out there with a sling and 5 smooth stones, and what was his defense? David wasn't stressed about this giant that towered over him. He wasn't bothered by the words that Goliath would say, that you come at me as a dog with sticks, calling David a stick, and tells David, I'm going to feed you to the birds, right? I'm going to kill you and feed you to the birds. David wasn't stressed one bit. In fact, when you read the account, what does David do? He runs towards Goliath. He runs toward the man who could step on him and kill him. But what was David's defense? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And that is our defense. That is the stress buster in each of our lives, and that is the name of God. We're relying upon the Lord. And David got victory over the Lord. He didn't allow himself to be stressed over the magnitude of the problem because he knew the solution was bigger than the problem. And that is what we always have to remind ourselves, no matter if it's a financial stress, a health stress, a relational stress, a job stress, a vehicle stress, no matter what it is, God is always bigger than whatever it is that wants to crush us, wants to steal our joy in the Lord. You and I have to keep abiding in Christ, knowing that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the third thing that we looked at last week, according to verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me remind us, God cannot help you unless you ask him to. Now, God is wonderful and God can do anything, but there are times where God wants you to cast your care upon him before he does anything. Now, sometimes, Lord, you already know what's coming. Can you just take care of it before it gets here so I don't have to stress over it and worry about it? But again, God wants to stretch our faith. He wants us to willingly cry out to him, take our cares to him, ask him for wisdom, ask him for a solution, ask him for direction in our life. God wants us to condemn the anxiety in our life. Again, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I don't know, has anybody, you know, answer it or you don't have to answer, but think about it. Has any of us ever had, I know I have, had somebody at work just dump all their work on you? Or maybe the boss did it because, you know, so-and-so didn't show up for work and it's kind of like, you know, bring in this big load and here, you got to take care of this on top of everything else you're doing. And we usually are not happy when that happens. There's not a single person, yippee, I've got more work to do, right? Because even kids don't like it. Go clean your room. Okay, my room's clean. Can I go out and play now? Nope, go take out the trash. That's Sally's job. Without naming names, I even have teenagers that do that. Well, so-and-so, that's their job. Well, I'm asking you to do it, right? Nobody likes it. But isn't it strange that you and I have a God who wants us to dump our load on him? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He actually wants us to dump it on him. Now, we care about each other. There's people in your life you care about. You want them to come to you when they need help. But God actually wants all of us to come to him. And don't just come to him to come to him, but come to him and cast all your care upon him, because he doesn't want us to carry the load. We're not designed to carry the load of stress. We can't. It's either going to make us angry, and we're going to take that anger and that frustration out on loved ones. It's going to cause us, if we allow it to distance ourselves from God, because we kind of think it's not fair that God's dumping this on me, when God's not the one dumping it on us. God's the one that's saying, hey, cast it on me. So we looked at that last week. Again, condemning anxiety in your life is casting it on the Lord. Going to the Lord in prayer and asking the Lord for help, asking the Lord for wisdom, asking the Lord for a solution, and saying, Lord, here it is. You can figure that out better than I can. And this morning, I want you to look at the second part of verse 6. Because the fourth way that you and I can get victory over stress in our life is to appeal to God. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. Appeal unto God. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. So how often do we need to seek God's face? Continually. Okay, so only when I feel like it. No, continually. Okay, so when everything's going smooth, the sun is shining, the grass is green and cut, the birds are chirping, it's a beautiful day, my garden is just busting forth with all the vegetables that I want, and I didn't even have to plant one of them. No, in everything we are to continually seek the Lord. But I guarantee you, there's more than one in here that doesn't do that all the time, because we're human. When we're sitting in church, or we're reading our Bible, or we're praying, we can tackle the world. Absolutely, I will always seek the Lord, no doubt about it, until that moment comes. And if we haven't already been preparing ourselves to seek God, our first thought is not to seek God. It has to be something that we're already doing on a daily basis, where we're seeking God, we're reading his word, we're allowing our life to be conformed into the image of Christ by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, where we're already letting God guide us in our relationships, in our finances, in every aspect of our life. We have to be able to appeal unto the Lord, seek the Lord and his strength. Let me just ask you, who is it that wants to crush and destroy you? And you need to answer that. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. It is your adversary. It is the devil. He wants to crush and destroy each and every one of us. Is not that what he wanted to do with Job? We go back and we read the life of Job that we see in Scripture. It wasn't God's plan, but the devil came to God and said, if you take away everything he has, he'll curse you to your face. The Lord says, okay, you go ahead. You do that, but you can't touch him. You can't take his life. God gave limits to the devil. But it was the devil that took away his stuff. It was the devil who killed his kids. It was the devil that brought an amount of stress in one day that no human can possibly endure. But what did Job do? Go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Because Job did exactly what we're told to do in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. And this is how he sought the Lord. In Job chapter 1, in verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he worshiped God. Again, the devil mounted all this stress upon Job in one day. And don't believe the lie that, well, this process of his children dying and his cattle being killed and stolen and all that happened over several days, several months. No, because when you read the Bible, it says in verse number, we'll even start here, look at verse number 13. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, and it continues, because as each servant that survived came, as each one was speaking, here comes another one. Here comes another. Have you ever had a day like that where it just seemed like things were just, I mean, you kind of wish that you would have never got out of the bed. Just, you know, hit the alarm, went back to sleep till the next day, because it's like, man, this day just isn't going to end. It's just, what could possibly go wrong next? And before you even get it out of your mouth, something else is happening, right? That's just part of life. But Job chose to do the right thing, and that was to seek the Lord through worship and through prayer, and not allowing himself to be crushed under the stress that the devil had caused in his life. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. Whatever the case may be, whatever it is that we need, we can ask the Lord, we can knock, we can seek, because we know our Heavenly Father already knew what was coming in our life. He already has the solution, and he wants us to come to him, to cast our cares upon him, to take his strength upon us. And if it so be the Lord wants us to walk through that valley, we know that he will be with us, and there is nothing that we have to fear. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is exactly what our adversary does not want us to do. When the stress mounts up in our life, he does not want us to stop and to praise God and to give thanks to God. Again, you and I can rejoice under stress, because our rejoicing will cause the stress to become very little. It may not change the circumstance, but it changes the strength of the stress. You and I can either feed stress or starve stress. And we starve it by giving our attention to the Lord, who is the problem solver, the one who is with us, the one who will strengthen us, the one who will lead us through. Because again, when we choose, and it's a choice, everything we do in life is a choice. I'm either going to choose to be mad, or I'm going to choose to be glad. Now, there's been many times in my life where I've chosen to be mad because I deserve it. I deserve this moment to be mad. I deserve this moment to show my strength by throwing a monkey wrench across the garage and putting a hole in the wall. Don't I deserve that? I mean, after all, if the chain on my bike had not fallen off the track, I would not have to be working on it as a kid, and then the monkey wrench slipping and my knuckles hitting the, I don't know what you call those, what's that thing the chain goes on? What is it? The sprocket? Right. And it hurts, right? When it hits the knuckles and, right? So I deserve that, right? At least I didn't pick up the bike and throw the bike, right? We will try to convince ourselves that our anger, the emotion that we are distributing wrongly, is justifiable, right? It's never justifiable with God. Again, we have to seek the Lord. We have to let God. Again, the rising of the anger inside of you is not the sin. The sin is when we allow the anger to come out in our words and our action. That's the sin. And that's the sin that God wants to keep us from. Just using anger as an example, we can't control it. We try to, but it'll come out at the wrong time against the wrong person that we didn't intend for it to come out against. And now the problem has even grown larger than what it was, because now I did something, said something wrong to a loved one that I didn't mean to, but allow the anger to take over and to come out. Now I got two problems to deal with, right? And it can just keep going on and on from there. So again, God wants us to seek him when the stress starts to come upon our life and we even start to have emotions start to rise up in us that are not right. God wants us to seek him, cast our care upon him, seek wisdom from above, and get his guidance in our life. In verse number 8, if you go back to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse number 8. You know what? Look at verse number 7. Now, we still have sinful flesh, all right? You know that, and I know that. Our flesh did not get saved. We're not all of a sudden perfectly sinless, right? Our spirit has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We can never lose our salvation, but unfortunately we still have flesh that we have to control and bring under subjection. But God has given us a great peace on the inside. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So God has given us a peace that you and I can tap into when we start to feel anger and stress to take over. And that peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Again, if I feed my flesh more than my spirit, which part of me is going to be stronger in my life? My flesh. If I feed my flesh pornography, adultery, fornication, I mean, all the things the Bible lists, if I just do whatever my flesh desires, my flesh becomes stronger in my life, my spirit becomes weaker. The Holy Spirit hasn't left me, but the Holy Spirit is grieved, the Holy Spirit is quenched, the Holy Spirit becomes silent, the Holy Spirit stops working in my life until I get to the bottom of the barrel and realize, you know what, I got to stop this. I need the Lord. So God's given us a peace. And one of the greatest ways to tap into that peace is to read God's word. It is, I promise, it's the last thing we want to do when we're mad. I agree. It's the last thing when we're upset. We don't feel like, I know, and you'll have someone say, look, just read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. Who is it that really doesn't want you and me to have the peace in our life that we need and that God has given us? Again, you have an adversary. You can't see him. You know he's there. You see his work at different times. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that has ever struggled with reading the Bible when I'm upset. And I apologize if you don't have a perfect pastor. But when I've given in to the Holy Spirit, who is saying, hey, buddy, get your face in the book that's going to help you, and I still kind of resist, but I do it because I know I'm supposed to, and I just keep reading until the fallow ground is broken up in my heart, and I can hear God's voice, and I have some peace. Because it is. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It is what we need. But it is what your adversary and my adversary fights in our life all the time, is the truth of God's word. Now, there is no excuse as a child of God for not reading God's word. Because God has given us exactly what we need. This is our nourishment, is the word of God. It is our nourishment. It's not, you know, can I find a Bible verse that condones my anger and my outbursts? And the answer is no, you'll never find one. Because the Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Right? Our wrath is never justified. God's wrath is justified because he's a righteous God. Again, getting victory over stresses in our life, Verse number eight says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, whatever occupies our mind the most is going to control us. It's going to control us. A lot of bad things happen to bad people, or a lot of bad things happen to good people, all right? But we can't allow those things to control our life. We can't allow our thoughts of past hurts and failures control the present and the future of our life. Again, whatsoever things that match up to verse number 8 is what's supposed to occupy our mind and our thoughts, and you and I will never find anything that matches up to verse number 8 except Jesus Christ and his word. Jesus Christ and his word. The Bible says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what is God's will for each of us? It's to worship him. It's to serve him. It is to honor him with our life. It is to rely upon him. It is to cast our care upon him. It is to take the yoke of Christ upon us so we can learn of him and find rest unto our souls. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I forget where it's at, but David talked about, I don't think it's Psalm 28, but David talked about encouraging himself in the Lord. And there is a psalm where he questions himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He says, I will hope in the Lord. Right? We have to tell ourselves to knock it off, get our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith, cry out to him, worship him, and follow him. When everybody's against you, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord that, you know what, God is still on my side. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have to admonish ourselves in the Lord. We have to tell ourselves, you know what? I may be downhearted. I may have a broken heart. I may be under this stress, but I have a God in heaven who still is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and whatever is over my head is still under his feet. He's in control, and I can trust him. In verse number 9, Philippians chapter 4, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. All right? He says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So everything that you have learned through God's word, whether your own private Bible reading, whether a message being taught, God's word being taught, being preached, the truth of God's word, we always have to adhere to God's message. James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Again, we're talking about getting victory over the stresses of life. How can we not be crushed by stress, but really even turn the stress to our advantage, to our gain? Now, we can't individually, but when we put the stress in God's hand, he can, right? Because look at Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You already know the verse, but let's look at it. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Then whatever stress is in your life, he wants to use it for good, but we have to put it in his hands. We have to cast it to him. And it doesn't mean, because I know the devil. As soon as you hear this verse, the devil brings to your mind things that haven't changed. Spouses, children you're praying for, jobs. The devil just brings to your mind, well, he hasn't done anything with that yet, so, I mean, you can't apply that verse to it. Yeah, you can. Because God knows what's right. God knows what's best. And if God gave us everything we wanted, every time we asked for it, we would get to a place where some people are at that they're not even thankful for what God does. They just expect it to be done. And then when it doesn't get done, we turn our back on the Lord and we say, well, see, I tried it and God just didn't, he didn't come through. Now, God's word is true, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose in your life? Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Never forget, God predestinated you to be conformed into the image of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit cultivated in your life, to bear out in your life, for you and I to become to a place, I don't know if being conditioned is the right term to use, but being conditioned to always trust God first. No matter what comes up in your life, that we automatically, we just turn to the Lord. Right? We just turn to the Lord. It's called faith conditioning. It's called faith conditioning your faith. Just like someone conditions their muscles. Not everybody is for firearms, but I am. I enjoy firearms. I enjoy concealed carry because we have that freedom. We have that right in America, not every state. Some of the liberal states, you know, want to keep their citizens from protecting themselves. But if you know anything about firearms, if you know anything about concealed carry, you have to condition your muscles. It's called muscle memory. It's where you practice where you have the firearm hidden and how quickly to get to it and how quickly to get it on target of a threat, all right? So you practice over and over again to where when you ever have to protect yourself or your loved ones, you don't even have to think about it because you've practiced so much that, you know, it's just you go into action and your hand goes back to where it is and you bring it up on target. Because your muscles, Your muscles have been trained to do that. You think, just think about sports as well, all right? You train yourself to do whatever you want to do. It's the same with our faith. You have to condition your faith that your first response to any stress in your life is the Lord. I mean, your first response is with your hands. I mean, you're giving the stress to the Lord. Here you go, Lord. You knew it was coming, so you already know what to do with it. I don't. That's just what we have to do. But if we're not practicing that, if we pick and choose what we take to the Lord and don't take to the Lord, then, you know, when those overwhelming stressful moments come in our life, we kind of fumble with it. We don't know what to do, and we allow ourselves to become overweighted with the stress that God is standing there. Give it to me, give it to me. All right, because he is. He says, cast all your care upon me, for he careth for you. Last thing I want you to think about, look at verse 9. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's exactly what God wants. The whole point is that you and I would find peace in God. Instead of letting the stress control your life, you let the peace of Christ reign over you. You let the Lord allow you to experience his peace that passeth all understanding. Look very quickly, if you would, just at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. This was an account in the lives of the disciples that was very stressful. And yet the Prince of Peace was right there with them to take away the fear out of their hearts, to control the storm that was in their life, and to bring them safely to the other side. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. The Bible says, the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Do you think they were under stress? How many of you have ever been in a boat that was starting to sink, or at least water? One of our first little 10-foot boats that I had gotten for the boys when they were little to take them fishing, it leaked a little. Still took it out, but, you know, water was seeping in, and I just kind of ignored it because it wasn't seeping in that bad, so we're good, right? But, man, if it really starts to, you know, fill up, then you start to get a little stressed, and you say, oh, we got to hurry up and get to shore. So you can imagine, because of the storm that's raging on the Sea of Galilee, what's going through the hearts and minds of these disciples that are experienced fishermen at that. They are experienced fishermen, all right? And he says, and he was, speaking of Jesus, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Right? That's a good question. Now, obviously the adversary or someone else who doesn't walk with the Lord would say, well, that's a dumb question to ask why you're so fearful. Doesn't he know anything? I mean, the storm's raging. I mean, the boat's filling up with water. I mean, you're about to die, and he wants to know why you're so fearful. The better question to ask is, why is Jesus asleep? Why is he peacefully asleep in the midst of the storm that's causing stress on the disciples? Because the peace that he is, he wants his disciples to have it. He wants them to have that peace that they can sleep like a baby through a storm. But he asks them, you know, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is that? Is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Again, the Lord teaching them a lesson that he's in the storm with them. There's nothing to be fearful about. He had just got done feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, with a couple loaves of bread and a few fish. And yet he fed them till they were full, and he sent his disciples out to gather leftovers, which they did. They gathered up the fragments. So again, the Lord's still teaching us that we can trust him. And there are times, I will say, the Lord allows something in your life to get your attention, to get my attention, to strengthen our faith, to help us to continue to rely upon him and really not get to a place in our life where we're so comfortable we stop calling upon the Lord. Well, you know, life is good, nothing's happening, you know, I can just not read my Bible, I cannot pray to the Lord, because, you know, he's the one that's given me this wonderful life. But again, God still wants us to move forward. He still wants us to learn lessons. He still wants us to learn that he is our strength and our shield. One last place I'm going to read to you, and that's Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. So always remember, and you and I have to, on a daily basis, remind ourselves, don't wait until stress comes, but daily remind ourselves that God is my strength, he is my praise, he is my helper, he is my deliverer, he is my God. He is the one that sees me, he is the one that loves me, he's the one that paid the ultimate price so that I can have an abundant life filled with his peace, his guidance, and his wisdom. Don't allow the stress of life to crush you, but take those moments and glorify God in those moments by casting your care upon him, by seeking him with your whole heart, and then let God do what he wants to do with stress. Whatever's causing the stress, let God do what he wants to do while you and I keep doing what we know we're supposed to do. Walk with God, trust his word, keep growing in the Lord, and just let God guide you through those moments in life, because he wants to be glorified in your life, he wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to come out the victor.